Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ, to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Most of us want to be different. It seems to be a feature of being human. Maybe not all of the time, not all of us, but most of us would like to be different. It shows itself in the New Year's resolutions that we make every year. But another feature of being human is that that power to change seems to elude us. Perhaps we can become a degree or two nicer or healthier or cleverer, but deep down, it's still the same us. As someone once said, whenever we turn over a new leaf, we find ourselves on the same page. That desire to change is no different for Christians. In fact, we should sense it more. Our exposure to God's word has shown us what we're really like. The death of Jesus has shown us how serious our problem was. It turned out we'd massively underestimated what needed to be done. Things were much worse than I thought, much worse. My life didn't just need a few minor adjustments, straightening the pictures and plumping up the cushions. It needed a total renovation. Which is why the resurrection of Jesus is such good news. For these Sundays after Easter, we're thinking about the implications of Jesus' resurrection. And last Sunday, we saw how it means that we can be sure. Sure that Jesus really is who he said he is. Sure that he really has done what he said he would do. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about the significance of Jesus' resurrection for our lives now. And particularly that desire to change. The Christian is not just someone who votes Jesus from afar. Rather, when someone becomes a Christian, when they're born again, the Holy Spirit unites that person to Christ in a living union. In the New Testament, one of the most frequent ways to describe a Christian is with the little phrase, in Christ. Not simply that we follow Christ, or that we believe in Christ, or that we are saved by Christ, or that we submit to Christ, but that we are in Christ. It's a phrase which highlights the fact that Jesus died not only as our replacement, but also as our representative. He doesn't just die for us, he dies as us. As an illustration, think of the Olympic Games this summer when Katrina Johnson-Thompson represents Great Britain. Because she competes on behalf of the country, when she wins a medal, the whole country wins a medal. How many medals have we won, we'll be saying. Well, that's something of what happens between Jesus and his people. Not only our replacement, but also our representative. And the Holy Spirit establishes a deep connection, a vital union between Christ and his people. So that whatever happens to Jesus is counted by God as happening to us. He's our representative. By faith in Jesus, we're bound up with him. So the Apostle Paul, for example, in our reading from Romans 6 there, says that we died with Christ. And elsewhere he says that Christians are raised with Christ. His fortunes are our fortunes. We are inextricably linked, not only to a dying Saviour, but to a living Lord. And that means change. His resurrection means our resurrection. And that happens in two stages. At the end of time, believers will be physically raised and we will be given new resurrection bodies. That's another sermon. But also, when someone trust in Jesus, they are at that moment spiritually raised. So Paul can say to the Colossian Christians, you have been raised with Christ. It's already taken place. It's in the past tense. The believer's union with Christ means that they already begin to experience something of his resurrection. And that means change. Change more real than any New Year's resolution. We begin to enjoy a whole lot of newness. First of all, a new life. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds those Christians of how they came to be followers of Christ. First of all, he reminds them that they were spiritually dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, he says. That's the default condition of humankind. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Dead to God. And as those who are dead, there was nothing we could do about it. Our prospects for spiritual life were about as promising as that bit of roadkill for physical life. That squashed rabbit that's got tire marks across it has as much prospect of physical life as left to ourselves we do of spiritual life. Self-improvement or religious behavior is never going to help. But then God did something. Because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Do you hear that? Dead, then made alive. New life where there was none. And Paul continues the next verse, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. Made alive and raised up entirely by God's grace, his undeserved kindness. Which is why Paul goes on to say that we've got nothing to boast about. If we were dead and now alive, how could it be anything else? It's all from God. And with that new life comes a new perspective. Our hearts and minds begin to be set on something new. Let's go back to that passage in Colossians again. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Do you notice the connection there? It's because we've been raised with Christ that we need to set our minds and hearts on things above. That new perspective is insisted upon and impelled by the experience of new life. I don't know if you've ever hired a van. Last time we did so to move some furniture for Andrew, we were given a free upgrade. Instead of the transit van that we had booked, it was the most enormous Luton box van that we were given instead. As I climbed up into it, I tried to hide my never done this before sort of excitement and tried to pretend that, you know, I was really knew what I was doing. And although I hadn't paid for it, it didn't take me long to start behaving as if I was a real trucker, as if I was king of the road and looking down on everybody else. My perspective had changed, and not in a particularly good way. Well, being raised with Christ will change our perspective. We need to look at things from our new position. We're not where we once were. And we need to keep up with that. We need to set our minds and hearts on things above. Notice it doesn't happen automatically. It requires some determination on our part, some resolve. I have been raised with Christ, and I need to stay aware of that. I need to have the concerns and outlook that go with being spiritually raised. It's not something you just sort of stick in your back pocket and then business as usual. Instead, think like a risen person, says Paul. What new concerns belong to that new life? What new priorities? If you've been raised with Christ, You have a new perspective on life. And that is going to spill over into new conduct. We've moved from spiritual death to spiritual life, and that means new behavior. Back to Colossians once more. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Do you notice the therefore at the beginning? It connects with what he was saying. Because we've been raised with Christ, we need to change our conduct. And Paul goes on with the language of putting off and putting on a new set of clothes. What comes off is whatever belonged to our earthly nature, all that characterized a life without reference to God. Resurrection means that things have to go. We used to live for other things. We used to live for our own satisfaction. So we're greedy and selfish. We live for the approval of others, so joined in their impurity. We live for acceptance, and so went along with the crowd. But now, we've been raised with Christ. We live for him. And our behavior follows that. What are we to put on? Well, it is the character of Jesus, isn't it? We're raised with him. We belong to him. Once we thought too much of ourselves, now we are to be clothed with humility and kindness. Once we lived for ourselves, now we are to live for others. You might be able to get away with your pajamas in a Zoom meeting, especially the bottom half, but it will be a big mistake to go back to the office like that. Well, if we've been raised with Christ, we are to dress appropriately. New conduct that belongs to a new life. We're given an example of that amongst the early Christians in Acts chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and bought the money from the sales and put it at the feet of the apostles. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. What an amazing picture. Holding loosely to their possessions, a culture of sharing. And not just the small stuff. They sold their land to provide for the needy among them. That's like selling your savings portfolio into the pot to help others. And notice too that it was laid at the feet of the apostles for them to distribute. It didn't come with conditions on how it was to be spent. It wasn't arm-twisting by the big donation. They were one in heart and mind, says Luke. And that expressed itself in their sharing. And what was it that empowered such generosity? Such extravagant generosity. Well, in the middle of that paragraph, Luke inserts a comment about the apostles' preaching. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. The fuel for their generosity was the message of the resurrection. That changed their perspective to their wealth, to one another. Raised with Christ, they were united with others who were raised with Christ. We are knitted to Christ. We are knitted to one another. And that changes our conduct. How could we use what we have to help others in our church family? Maybe our money? Maybe other things too. What about our time or skills or a listening ear? It's challenging stuff, isn't it? But if we find it difficult, is it because we've forgotten the life-changing message of the resurrection? New life means new lifestyle. Now, the strength to do all this doesn't come from ourselves. The God who calls also equips through the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and if you're in Christ, he is, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." See, that's what is required to change us. The power God used in raising Jesus from the dead. We can't do it on our own. But with the Holy Spirit, we can at last fight against the sin within us. A new power at work. If we are united to Christ, we are under new ownership. Once we are under the rule of sin, well, now we belong to Christ. We've changed masters, changed owners. And so Paul says in that reading from Romans, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." That's about the way we think, isn't it? That sin no longer has authority over us. Sometimes it'll feel like it does. We've obeyed it so often in the past. But Paul says, think differently. You're under new ownership. You're no longer under sin any longer. And we have the Spirit of resurrection power living within, with which to fight against sin and live as new people. You see, being raised with Christ means that there is a war going on within. And it takes nothing less than the power which raised Christ from the dead to fight that battle. We won't drift into holiness. We need to take up arms and fight. And by the resurrection Spirit, we can. In him, we have new power. In that moment of temptation, oh yes, sin feels good and it feels warm and right. It might feel like an old friend. And it's at that point I need to remember the resurrection. That sin is not inevitable anymore. I'm not bound to it any longer. Bad habits can be changed. I'm raised with Christ. And I need to count myself dead to sin. New life, new perspective, new conduct, new power. And finally, being raised with Christ brings a new ambition. Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." By this time, Paul had been following Jesus for about 30 years. He has written Romans and Galatians. He's written theology that will keep Christians going for centuries. He's not a rookie. He's well into spiritual middle age. But there's no sign of middle age spread. He's just as hungry to know Jesus as he ever was. We say, "Paul, you know him. You're doing fine." Paul replies, "Yes, but I want to know him. There's so much more. I've only just begun." And bound up with knowing Christ is knowing the power of his resurrection. Not some sort of megawatt experience to thrill him, not to blow his socks off. No, it's not that. It's resurrection power. It's life-giving, life-changing power. Not the power of worldly brilliance, but the power that leads to likeness of Christ. It's not an easy power to show, because as we've seen, it involves a battle. Paul longs for resurrection power to lead him into obedience, to grow in the likeness of Jesus. So we finish where we began. We want to change. And we know God wants us to change. Christ has been raised. And if we are in Christ, then we have been brought from death to life, raised with Christ. That spiritual resurrection gives us the power and the motivation to lead changed lives. So let's not settle for low-level holiness. We've been raised with Christ. Let us gladly offer ourselves to him. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you bring men and women a new life in Christ. You bring us to that union with him, where gloriously we are bound together with Christ. Thank you for the gift of new life, where we know that in our own lives and hearts. And we pray increasingly by the Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, you might change and transform us more and more. We pray that you would give us increasingly that ambition to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. And we ask it all for your glory. Amen.